Impeachment. With Stephen K. Bannon, Jason Miller, and Raheem Kassam. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back to War Room Impeachment, 16 December, Year of Our Lord 2019, Episode 74, the two-hour special that we do every Monday, Vox Populi, Voice of the People. We're live from Capitol Hill, a dreary Capitol Hill. It's gone from wintry mix, I think they call it, of a little ice and a little rain now to just a cold rain. Very dreary day to a very dreary week. On Wednesday of this week, we'll impeach the 45th President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, on two articles of impeachment, abuse of power, and obstruction of Congress. On Vox Populi throughout the world, our number is 888-480-5646. That's 888-480-5646. Remember, on Vox Populi, we provide the news, you provide the opinion. There's just a couple of ground rules. It's the Socratic method, so you're going to get some questions asked back at you. Just be prepared to be able to hit a fastball. Be on the trigger. Make sure that the radio is cut down in your background if you're online. We want to tell everybody we're trying to add more lines. We want to thank the John Fredericks Radio Network that co-produces us with us and the staff in Richmond that brings it on. John Fredericks, Salem Broadcasting, America's Voice.News, and Newsmax TV. Let's go to our first call. I'm here. By the way, we've got to introduce Lou Murray. Lou Murray is the chairman of the Boston Catholic Radio Channel and also the Catholic Radio Network. He was on President Trump's 2016 Faith Advisory Board as one of the senior Catholics, and he's going to be named to the 2020 Campaign Advisory Board for Faith-Based Leaders, and he's going over to the White House this afternoon to a faith-based meeting. Thank you for joining a couple of sinners like Jason Miller and Stephen K. Bannon. We always love the faith guys, right? Any good grace you can bring on is always fantastic.
Go and sin no more.
Okay, we got to get that mic. Let's get that mic to work. Lou, we're going to get your mic here in a minute. Producer Dan is actually working the... actually, let's try that again.
Go and sin no more.
Fantastic, fantastic, fantastic.
And you know what they call this weather in Boston?
What do they call this weather?
Tropical.
A good New England fan. Okay, let's go to Charlottesville. We're going to start with the caller right off the bat. You got Lou, Jason, Steve, Mary in Charlottesville. Mary in Charlottesville, you're on Vox Populi on War Room Impeachment. How can we help you, ma'am?
Hey, great talking to you guys. I don't think I've missed the show since September.
Well, thank you so much. That's a kind of, just make sure all your friends know that.
Oh, I've told everybody. I got that little podcast going on my phone, and I have this just terrible feeling. I think there's a Blasey Ford surprise out there somewhere. Last minute, something's going to come out. Oh, and I'm also Roman Catholic, so another...
God bless you, Mary.
Yeah. Redemption. So what do you think about that? I just think there's a Blasey Ford surprise out there.
Oh, hang on a second. Not for the impeachment that's going to take place next week, but you're saying potentially for a trial, you think there's a witness that could be called or a witness
that
comes
and
up?
I'm not talking sexual harassment. That's been done. It's something. I just have this terrible feeling. Because why go through all this unless there's something in the wings that they're...
Let me ask you, Mary, you're from, you know, if you look at Texas with Austin and the University of Texas, if you look up at Wisconsin and Madison, the University of Wisconsin, Michigan in Ann Arbor with the University of Michigan, or Virginia with Charlottesville and the University of Virginia, these large universities have become center of, let's say this, non-Trumpian thought. As you are sitting there with your neighbors and your friends, I'm sure many of whom in the Charlottesville area are not deplorables and not the Trump. Where do you think people are coming down now, Mary, on the impeachment with the facts that we have in front of us today?
Well, the problem is that we've got that August 2017 thing that you can't even really open your mouth. I mean, that debacle has really hurt the entire state.
You're talking about the march that took place in August 2017, that commenced that over the Confederate generals, the statues.
Yes, that was a cabal-engineered debacle. And I even knew liberals at the time that didn't believe those statues should come down. But that's another story. But I have I have a group of friends that I can talk freely to. And, you know, you got to, you know, I was at a dinner party this weekend, and we were all Trumpers, and we could talk freely. But I also have no neighbors that you just can't, you can't say anything, because they link you to August 12th, 2017. I mean, that organized cabal did so much damage on the state, on top of course, having a liberal university here. But
do you believe are most of the liberals today, you know, your neighbors, people that you know well, are most of those people very focused? They believe he should be impeached, and they support these articles of impeachment. Given everything he's tried to accomplish, they do believe he should be impeached on what we think is the wafer-thin evidence or the wafer-thin concepts that they brought in. Do they believe he should be impeached and then removed from office?
I haven't heard one person tell me they think that he should be removed from office. But I really lay low. I mean, and where we live, too, it's funny. There's a lot of people from Northern Virginia that escape Northern Virginia when they retire. You know, ex-alphabet agency people.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of those people around here.
Virginians that want to get back to Virginia, since Northern Virginia has now become part of Washington.
Right. So they're in Northern Virginia. They retire from the alphabet agencies, and they move to this sweet spot of Virginia in the foothills of the Blue Ridge escape Northern Virginia. So I have a lot of these alphabet people that I have to be very careful asking, you know, talking about.
Deep state goes to Charlottesville, right?
And I shouldn't laugh, but so I do have a group of friends that I can really talk freely about, and we're just passionate. We're really afraid there's going to be a civil war. If they pull some fast thing in the Senate, and they try to get an AOC bouncer to take him out, I am so fearful for this country. I really am. But then again, I believe Graham has got to get this thing out of the Senate as fast as possible.
So you don't want to. So we've got to bounce, but you don't want a full. You know, when President Trump says, "I want to be exonerated, I want to be found innocent, I want witnesses, I want a full thing," you're a Trump supporter, and you don't believe that. You believe with Lindsey Graham, quick and dirty. Read some depositions. As soon as we got the votes, call the vote, and let's move on.
Absolutely, because I'm telling you, they got something in the wings, and you know, as much as. So many of these guys.
We got to bounce to other calls, but thank you so much. Great call. I want to go to first to Jason and then to Lou before we take the next caller. This is a Trump supporter, hardcore, you know, but she says, if they give you the putt, take the putt and move on.
So I think Mary says a couple interesting things here. One is I completely identify with her concern that Democrats are going to try to pull some fast maneuver. But here's the thing. It's not contained even just to the trial. Even if President Trump, I shouldn't say even if, when President Trump is completely exonerated next month, within this next 30 days or so, the Democrats aren't going to stop. They're going to come up with some other aspect of crazy. I mean, we saw this whole nullification project. They can't help themselves. They're going to be doing it all the way up until Election Day of next year.
And then thereafter.
And
they'll never give up. He's triggered.
Even once
he's triggered them.
No, because they think that he's going to stay in office past 2024. They think he's going to be in there forever.
Huckabee's got to worked out the Constitution. He thinks he's going to stick around. Lou, what do you think? Are you for a long trial with fact evidence that exonerates the president? Or you want to, like Lindsey Graham, read a couple of depositions and then let's have a vote?
No, to heck with it, Lindsey. I'd say to Mary, you got to replace fear with faith. And we got to go straight through with a big trial, and we got to get the witnesses out there. Just like that great Boston movie, The Verdict. We want The Verdict.
A great movie with Paul Newman. Fantastic. We're here on War Room Impeachment, Vox Populi, 888-480-5646. Let's go to Indiana and Marsha. Marsha in Indiana, you're on Vox Populi. How can we help you, ma'am?
Yes. I had a question about this upcoming trial in the Senate.
Yes, ma'am.
I thought that the case was made for what would be the prosecution by the House. Why is that allowed to change and be attitude by like Schumer and the Democrats? That seems to me like if you go on trial, the prosecution doesn't get to add things after the trial begins. It's time for the press to defend himself.
Marsha, thank you very much. Fantastic call. She makes a great point. They've made their case. They've had they didn't allow the Republicans to call any witnesses. They had a case to get their facts. Now that he wanted to defend himself, why did they get to bring in other? Why did they get to bring in other? They had their chance. Why did they get to bring him in?
Well, fundamentally, there are two different procedures. The actual trial doesn't start until we get to the Senate, as laid out in the Constitution. But here is the aspect of hope. This is where it goes to our previous caller with Mary.
You're saying that this was like a grand jury. This was like the grand jury process, not exactly analogous. But if you have fact witnesses, you could still call them for the formal trial.
Right. And in real trials, even in as we go into the politically charged, they call it the trial going into the Senate here, if you were to bust out some witness late in the game and like, hey, here's this new person who magically thinks to have they saw something, the American public would see right through that. And don't forget, Democrats went to such depths to try to find anyone who would talk negatively on President Trump. They brought up those wacky professors. Remember Professor Palooza with Carlin? And with Feldman and all those cats, they brought them all in, and they had nothing. They brought in the Jennifer Williams, the low-level Pence person. They've run out of all the people that they have.
I heard in Marsha's voice the same thing that we heard that Mary actually said. You heard in her voice, I think, a fear of the deplorables and the Trump thing, that these guys are not the Democrats, and particularly the prosecution, is not to be trusted. They got something up their sleeve. And that's what she's saying. Hey, Schumer's coming out with these witnesses. What do they got that they're going to try to pull on Trump?
Well, I mean, what they have is a very fractured Democratic base where they have the absolute crazies, the AOCs, the squads. Those types are saying, let's just run this thing right off the cliff. And they have to hold that Democratic coalition together.
Why, Lou, you're pretty adamant. Why do you want to, and I know you're deplorable from way back from the 16 campaign, but why would you risk something happening that you hear Mary in the voice of Marsha for potential exoneration when you might blow the whole thing? You could take a quick and dirty acquittal.
Right. I think for the next 4 years, we need a complete acquittal so that we can really implement America First.
In his place in history, does he need to be exonerated for his place in history?
Absolutely. He deserves
it. Why do you say
it?
That?
I think the people want it. And I think that the people deserve it. It's not only an impeachment has been not only a repudiation of the president, been a repudiation of our votes.
The Nullification Project. I want to go back to Jason before we take another caller. Senator Braun sat in this chair in the very first, I think, week of the show, and he brought the point up that you needed a trial, that you shouldn't be dismissed immediately, and you needed a trial for what Lou just said. That all this needed to be vetted, so come election time, the Democrats couldn't come back and wave the bloody shirt of the impeachment. That it had to be vetted in the trial, and then you could put it in their face. That you ran this program, you ran this process, but hey, at the trial, not only was he acquitted, he was exonerated for all your nonsense. And Braun said that's why he had actually dismissed this thing where people were talking about dismiss the charges, that they weren't even big enough or not even real enough to even require a trial. We can just walk away from that. Braun said that's not the way to do it because the people in Indiana, the common sense people, want to hear this, and it's good for the president to be able to totally reject it in 2020. What say you?
And I think Senator Braun was right. And I will say that I was one of those people who said, you know what? If we have the votes there, we have over 50, let's just dismiss this thing. It's nonsense. It's hogwash. But the thing that Braun went to, and I think very much have grown to embrace this position, Democrats are never going to stop. They're going to keep hitting this and say it was illegal. There's some kind of shenanigans that went on. And unless President Trump can stand up there and said, you know what? There were 100 U.S. senators who looked at everything. Chief Justice John Roberts cleared me of everything and put that back in their place. And look, there's a very good chance that one of those jurors is actually President Trump's opponent. And so President Trump can point to Elizabeth Warren on the debate stage and say, Pocahontas, you keep drumming this whether it be the Russia hoax.
Pocahontas,
you keep talking about this, this whole impeachment thing. Your peers rejected this. Even your peers, you're such an outlier that the entire U.S. Senate and the Chief Justice rejected this, and you're still hammering on it. You are so out of touch with the rest of the country, and I think the president's right here.
Before we take the next call, our number is 888-480-5646 on Vox Populi, a special edition, episode 74. of war room impeachment. In Massachusetts, when the president says Pocahontas, or we say Focahontas, the foe, is that upset people in Massachusetts as you refer to that, or do they like it?
Oh, they love it. They absolutely love it. And he's getting more and more of the blue-haired rents Kennedy voters every single day.
Wow, I love that. Okay, Dan, what's our next pick? What's our next caller here?
Well, we have Jim on line one from South Carolina. He also agrees that there should be a full trial.
Let's go to Jim. Jim on South Carolina, you're here on Vox Populi. What do you got for us?
Gentlemen.
Hey, sir.
Gentlemen, good morning. Good morning.
Morning.
Steve, you've said from the get-go that Brexit and the election of President Trump has been inextricably linked, and I believe it's true. We have a global phenomenon, and I would submit to you that since President Trump came down the escalator in 2015 to the day we're at today, it's all been inextricably linked, Steve. The United States Senate owes it to the people of America to stand in for this president and to give this man a fair trial, to call witnesses, to expose the corruption, to prosecute the guilty, and to acquit this president, thereby expunging the historical record of anything to do with impeachment and Donald J. Trump. They owe it to us. And I would submit to you that what Senator Graham had to say in that hearing last week is all the evidence we need.
All the evidence that you need to have a full trial.
Absolutely. Absolutely. His words exactly. Every norm known to the rule of law was violated.
Jim, before we let you go, let me ask you one question. Senator Graham from your state was in Doha, the capital of Qatar, over the weekend at a global conference. And he said that one of the reasons that the media picked up, that he said he did not want to call witnesses, and specifically Senator Joe Biden, that Joe Biden was a friend of his. Joe Biden had been a colleague of his. He had gone around with John McCain and Joe Biden throughout the world, spreading the concept of American democracy, and that Joe Biden was essentially a decent and good guy. Does that wash with you?
No, it does not. This is the difference between right and wrong. If Senator Graham is correct in him saying that every norm known to the rule of law has been violated, if there were indeed massive criminal conspiracies to defraud the FISA court, Steve Bannon, anybody amongst us would be under the jailhouse today if those charges were leveled to us. Do we have equal justice under the law, or do we have a two-tiered system of justice in America where Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and go right down the list can skate while they thumb their nose in the faces of the American electorate?
Jim in South Carolina, thank you very much for that call. I want to turn to my colleague, Jason Miller, and I want to go back to what you said in our previous War Room impeachment last hour. I want to go to take Jim's point up, James Comey's interview with Chris Wallace. He basically kind of shrugged his shoulders and said, hey, I'm sorry. Yeah. It was some procedural question. It was not systemic. It's not systemic. It's 17 different items, but it's not systemic. I'm sorry, some low-level grundoons made a few clerical errors. I'm sorry. To Jim's point, is that good enough?
No, not at all.
You vet that in a trial of the President of the United States of impeachment? This is my point. Is it at that scale? Because what Jim's saying is that, hey, they all think they're above the law. I've said this before. I said this on Anderson Cooper a couple of weeks ago. Joe Biden, this is not about him running for president. This is about him as Vice President of the United States. Is he above the law? But is the venue, because what Graham and those guys are saying now, hey, we'll have the Judiciary Committee, we'll have the Oversight Committee, we'll have all these committees, and we'll go review this stuff. Is that good enough, or do you need to put this in the trial of the president and get it all out?
I think we should have the whole thing out there, and we have to do it now. And
you're a strategist. You would risk, because Mary and Marsha are telling you they got some tricks up their sleeves. If you go down this route, be prepared to have some bombshells that they'll make it up, they'll create it, it'll be there, it'll be, Blasey Ford will show up, or not on a harassment, but the equivalent of that inside this whole process. Do you not fear that?
No, I mean, they'll try to do something, but it's nothing that I fear. I mean, the facts are our friends here. They've been our friends.
Unity and substance. You believe in the president when he says substance granularity. You think it plays all the way out to the trial.
Absolutely.
And you're prepared to risk that.
Yes, and there's another point.
And you would tell the president of the United States that.
Yeah, I would say hardcore.
You agree with Jim in South Carolina. It's got to all come out, or not just at your historical reputation, but where we are in the here and now, you need to lance the boil.
Yes, because this is his only opportunity to squash the bug, to absolutely squash the Democrat bug. They are never going to stop unless we call them out. Steve, there's another buried lead from that Comey interview. This, I can't believe conservative media isn't jumping all over this. He, when he was trying to downplay some of the abuses that happened at the FBI under his watch, and it's great because Wallace asked him the question, would you resign if those things, and he's like, no. And he goes, I mean, there were far worse things that happened while I was there. And no one jumped on it. I mean, so hold on. So we have the 17 abuses that came up in the Horowitz report. The fact that Kevin Kleinsmith, this quote-unquote low-level FBI guy who intentionally and illegally doctored a FISA application, and Comey signed several of them, by the way. I mean, his signature is on those. And Comey says there were far worse things that happened. I was surprised.
I was also surprised Chris Wallace didn't pick that right up. If Donald Trump had said it or something like that, Chris Wallace would be up in your grill.
Jumping on it.
Okay, before we go to break here, we're going to break in a second. We've got about a minute left. Lou, from the Faith Council, the Boston Catholic, and all, you're one of the good guys. You're with Jim in South Carolina and Jason Miller. You're saying, bring it. It's all got to come. No matter where it leads, you got to vet it now. You got to lance the bull now.
Absolutely. We got to temper the truth and the fire of the trial in the Senate.
Stephen K. Bannon, you're on a special edition 74 of War Room Impeachment. This is Vox Populi. We're taking your calls throughout the world on every platform we're out there. Make sure you go to warroom.org, all the legal breaking news. 888-480-5646 is our number. That's 888-480-5646. Remember, it may take you a while to get on, and once you're on, please hold. We're going to try to get to all of your calls today. Special 2-hour broadcast. Warroom.org is our website. It's on fire 24 hours a day. You can get all the assessment, all the analysis, all the stories, both from the left and the right, and all the buried leads. Jason Miller, Raheem Kassam, Stephen K. Bannon, joined by Lou Murray of the Boston Catholic Radio Network. We're going to take a short commercial break. We're going to return with all of your calls throughout the world in a moment on War Room Impeachment, Vox Populi.
War Room Impeachment. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back to War Room Impeachment, Episode 74. This is a special Vox Populi, live from Capitol Hill, 16 December, Year of Our Lord, 2019. Our number is 888-480-5646. I've been told by the great production staff of our co-producers, John Fredericks, that I got to pick up the pace and take in callers. So we're going to go right to Long Island. And Ian in Long Island, you're on Vox Populi. How can we help you, sir? Hey, Ian, how you doing, sir?
Good, very well.
Good. How can we help you?
I was just calling as far as I was waiting for the call. Is this the War Room?
Yes, you're on the War Room live globally.
Very good. Well, all right, two quick points. I think the fast acquittal, which will set a precedent going forward, that you're not going to have a partisan push it through the House ever, the rest of America, I pray, and have this go through in the Senate even to entertain it. As much as I would love to see Lindsey Graham, he was already on Maria Bartiromo saying, I'm not calling Schiff, I'm not, and I don't trust Richard Burr, Collins, Murkowski, I can go on and on, Romney. I don't trust the Schumers. I don't trust they're not going to bring somebody in to lie like they did with Avenatti or Ford, the Blasey Ford. I don't trust those type of people. Those people are twisted. So they can take this to their advantage, I think. So if they're not going to play hard, Lindsey Graham and the Senate, which I would love to see them do, but nothing's been fair to President Trump with the Russia investigation with Richard Burr. Why am I to think anything will change?
Okay, hang on for a second. Before we let you go, I just want to make sure I'm clear. It's when you say the trusting, you're talking about Republicans. You don't trust Romney. You don't trust Collins. You don't trust Burr, it's these Republicans, establishment types, that makes you jiggy, that you don't trust anybody, right? You're saying, hey, take the putt. If they're going to give you the putt, take the quick acquittal. You'd love to have a long trial and exoneration, but if they're giving you acquittal, take it and move on.
Right, and that'll set a precedent that this will never happen again, either side. You have to have your bipartisanship, but we the people, then you have to have town halls, and you have to convince 63 million Trump supporters, at least 30 million that would say, oh my God, what did he do? And then you can go through with your, what would be the right thing, maybe. But we all know what's been going on. Everybody, while Trump has been doing more than anybody ever as a president, and I don't want to go through the list of everything because we all know it, but he's had no help. So the USMCA, don't think that you're doing nothing great, Nancy Pelosi, because you are for NAFTA. All you Democrats are dead set against the USMCA. So don't sit there like it's a great thing and you made it so great because you loved NAFTA. You love jobs leaving America and leaving Americans to go on food stamps, which Barack was very good at.
Ian, thank you so much. Fantastic call. We got to roll through callers. But Ian, fantastic. I want to go to Lou. Ian makes the case, don't play around with this. Send a signal to forever that if you do another highly partisan thing like that, we're going to do a quick up and down, boom, get the votes and get out of here, to embarrass and humiliate the House of Representatives for bringing this forward. What say you, Lou Murray?
I love the humiliation aspect, but I think it's a far better humiliation at the end of a trial.
Let's go to we have Faye in New York. Faye in New York.
You're on line three.
Line three. Faye in New York. You're on War Room.
Hi,
you got Jason Miller, Lou Murray, and Steve Bannon. How can we help you, ma'am?
Hi, Jason and Lou are 100% correct. President Trump must fight for exoneration. If he doesn't, it'll be a win for the left. This is why impeachment is happening, to expose and destroy the left, once the Democrats, once and for all. So it would be a waste to give up now and defeat the whole purpose.
Faye, what about Ian, your fellow colleague from New York and Long Island, said, hey, they're going to pull some shenanigans. I don't trust the establishment Republicans. I don't trust Burr. I don't trust Collins. I don't trust Romney. You're just asking for trouble.
But this is the exact reason President Trump was chosen. He's a man who can withstand all that. There's a reason that Ian is not in the White House and President Trump is. this is the exact reason he was chosen. And I'm an expert on the left, but you know who else was an expert on the left? Roy Cohn. And Roy Cohn is waiting. We can't disappoint him. Now, one more thing. If I could hug you.
By the way, this is not a setup call. Hold it. You got to stop for a second. What do you mean Roy Cohn is waiting and Roy Cohn knew the left?
Okay. He was also an expert on the left. And President Trump cannot disappoint him. Okay. He taught President Trump everything he knows about the left.
He was his mentor. He was his mentor.
Yes, but you have to understand that there's a reason President Trump is in the White House. This is not a regular presidency, and he has been chosen by God to destroy the left once and for all in America. So, in the past, I've heard you call President Trump an imperfect instrument, and I don't agree with this. I think President Trump is the perfect instrument because everyone is very familiar with late-stage communism, former Soviet Union, North Korea, and so on. But what we're experiencing here in America is the beginning stages of communism: censorship, political correctness, forced apologies.
So infiltration of the universities.
Not by his wife, not by his advisors, and most importantly, not by the leftist media.
When President Trump tweets out at 2 in the morning
and everyone is laughing, he sends a message to Western Europe that freedom of speech still lives, and it lives on in America, in the most powerful office in the land.
Faye, if you hang on for a second, though, I want my producer to make sure that we get, what's our email, Dan? It's fight@warroom.org. Fight@warroom.org. Faye, we want to hear more from you because we probably want to get a piece about you or with you up on the site. It's very important. The fight against cultural Marxism and communism and Roy Cohn. By the way, and Faye is also going to get a special invitation to the Christmas party at the White House. Faye, you were on fire. Okay. But to her point, this battle against cultural Marxism, and we just saw in the United Kingdom this toxic mix of cultural Marxism, socialism, and anti-Semitism went down to a crushing defeat by working class people that have been labor voters forever, just like President Trump won with blue collar Democrats in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. Lou, do you believe President Trump is an instrument that, and do you believe divine providence put him here to take on communism?
Well, I think divine providence has a hand in the United States of America. So to that extent, yes. And certainly he's been.
What do you say to people? What do you just say to defend Fay and others that the left is going to, you know, because everybody listens to the show. They're going to sit there and go, okay, now they got the real wing nuts in. They got basically you and Fay are the version of the American Taliban. That you believe that we're all divinely inspired. Look, I've said many times, President Trump, this was divine providence. I talked to Jeff Sessions about that because right. I was there. When you win the 79,000 votes, you draw an inside straight. Somebody, you know, God was the dealer, right?
That's right.
So, but why do you say that? When people say you're American Taliban, that you guys are the kookiest of the wingnuts, or Fay of New York in lieu of Boston?
That's a joke. I mean, we in a broad sense, we're deists like the founders. I mean, we grew up saying the Pledge of Allegiance in our classrooms, and Fay and I probably both hearts beat a little bit faster when we said one nation under God. But to the extent that we were saved from the debacle and anti-Americanism of a Clinton presidency, yes, it was an answer to a prayer.
Let's go to, by the way, I want to make sure we get Fay to email us in or the producer to get it. And when I say that President Trump's an imperfect instrument, I mean, like, I'm an imperfect instrument. We all are. We believe in the Judeo-Christian West, which is the fall of man and man's ultimate salvation. Let's go to New Hampshire and Sean. Sean in New Hampshire, you got Jason, Lou, and Steve here on Vox Populi. Our number is 888-480-5646. Sean in New Hampshire, how can we help you, sir?
Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm doing fine, sir. How are you doing?
So there's something about this impeachment ordeal that has caught me from the beginning. And that was Nancy Pelosi had held them off. Ukraine happened, and before she knew the details, she wanted to impeach. So that made me look into Ukraine. And I think it has to do with the 2014 Maidan coup. And not wanting to find all of the corruption, the money, and everything else that went on inside of Ukraine during the Obama administration. Her son even works for a gas company in Ukraine, and we've given them billions of dollars in tax dollars to go towards their energy sector in Ukraine. It seems like a cast so, and
let me just get this.
Me.
Let me get this right, because you know Raheem is not here today. He's out on assignment, but he's at Breitbart. We had him over there reporting on the Maidan coup. You're saying in your point, I'm gonna get to my two co-hosts here in a second. But you're saying your point is that hey, something happened to Nancy Pelosi. She had fought off the squad. She had fought off the progress, and she fought them off after the Mueller investigation, where they all wanted to bring charges of obstruction of justice. She fought that off. And this thing is such thin gruel that something, it has to be deeper than that. Is that what you're saying? There has to be something else there than just President Trump's phone conversation with Zelensky.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
No, and you're saying it's something, a new piece. You're saying one of the things we've been talking about. It has nothing to do with the 2016 election. This goes deeper. This goes into Biden's vice presidency. This goes into what Obama was doing. This goes into the State Department. This goes into the national security apparatus and the whole deal of how that government came down in the beginning, who was involved in Brussels, who was involved in Washington, and who made money, where money went.
Yes, and specifically, it's called Civil Society 2.0, run out of the State Department, started in 2011 by Hillary Clinton. And there's documentation and video evidence of them teaching people how to start online revolutions in places like Egypt, Libya, Syria, Ukraine, Chile. And where else do you see governments come down?
Sean, that's what the show I just did for John Frederick. Okay, Sean in New Hampshire, our email is fight@warroom.org. We need you to email us. We want to make sure we talk to you about this in detail. Sean in New Hampshire, thank you very much. I want to turn to before we take another caller. Is this when you're Mitch McConnell and you hear this? And you hear what the true Trump followers and believers are saying, hey, there's something's rotten in Denmark or in the Ukraine. And it's not just about the server. This is about, and you look at the Washington Post thing on Afghanistan, and you see all the lies and misrepresentation told by the permanent political class over 18 years, $2 trillion. And that in a trial, this is what we want to come out. Is it practical to do that, given that we're on the 16th of December, the trial's supposed to start on the 7th of January? Is it practical for the people that are the hardcores and want to get to the truth? Is it even practical to do that when you're talking about the level of detail that people are bringing stuff up from the IG report, from Comey, from everything? Is it even practical?
Absolutely, because number one,
you're hardcore.
The truth is on
Miller,
our side.
Miller, this is you. You have been a movement conservative for so long. I forget. This is the true Jason Miller. I thought you'd gone corporate on me.
No.
You're hardcore.
I look good, but that's I clean up well. But here's the reality: is that the facts are on our side, the truth is on our side, and so our folks are ready to go. We'll be ready. The folks are going to
That's what I love right now. They're lined up, and they are ready. Yes. They want to get down to it.
You know who's at a disadvantage? The folks who are curled up in the fetal position, like Hunter Biden, or you see Joe Biden, which, by the way, there's some great YouTube videos of Joe getting heckled at his own campaign events over the weekend. Some really.
We'll have those on warroom.org.
We'll have those on. And you want to know who's really worried about this? The whistleblower. The whistleblower who launched this nonsense in the first place hasn't had to put his name or his face. The fact that he wasn't even on the call, he has to be brought forward.
As the New York Post said, he was on the top of my list. There was a list that we put together, but he was near the top of the list. That guy's had to go in March and April of 2017, right? So this guy's a known bad dude.
Yeah, I want to get to one point, though, that when we talk about, I think right now the Republican Senate is slow walking what President Trump wants to do here. I think that they should realize where President Trump wants to go as far as having the full trial, be fully exonerated, have this cleared. They're trying to delay it out. So then when they have that sit down, say next week, end of this week, next week, well, Mr. President, this thing's coming up in a week and a half or 2 weeks. We can't do it.
You got the Christmas holidays.
Right. We have the Christmas holidays. We have no time. We're busy doing your agenda. Now, look, there are some things the Senate's
doing. Did you walk into the trap, too, because of your agreement at first that said USMCA should not be done this week? If the House passes on Thursday, the day after the impeachment, the Senate should take it up. You said, no, I think it would be better start. Now we've seen that it's bracketed. It's on the other side of the impeachment. Is that to box in how long the impeachment can go for so you can have the trial you want?
I think it's partially that, but I think also fundamentally Republicans in the Senate want to change NAFTA. I think they're throwing a little bit of a hissy fit that they feel that they weren't invited to certain aspects. I mean, when you look, the only person who's had any sort of policy disagreement about this has been Pat Toomey from Pennsylvania regarding USMCA. Everyone else is just whining and saying, well, we weren't invited to some aspect of the negotiating process. And, you guys may have had a reception that we didn't get invited to, or there would have been some great crumpets that were on display. But the fact, when they said that they might have this right when we come back from Christmas, I was like, you know what? I don't have a problem with that. I mean, come right back, explode out with a huge win, have the Rose Garden ceremony, and then start the trial the next day, right after President Trump had this big, massive win. The juxtaposition, I think, would be great. But now to say, hey, we're not going to do anything else until the end. I think you're right, Steve. I think it's trying to bookend and try to box in how long this can go by dangling out the USMCA success.
Yeah, Sean, great call from Kyle Hampshire. I'm a Nashua boy myself. I went to Bishop Gurdon High School. Go Cardinals. And I think that a date that's probably in Sean's mind with regard to boxing and the president is the February 11th primary in New Hampshire.
Yeah, February 11th, where the Democrats, a week after Iowa, they've got to go. Let's go to Los Angeles in Jonathan. Jonathan in Los Angeles. You've got Jason, Lou, and Steve here on Vox Populi. Our number is 888-480-5646. Jonathan in Los Angeles. How can we help you, sir?
Morning, guys. Happy Monday.
Hey, happy Monday to you, sir.
Thanks. Big fan.
Well, thank you, guys.
Just a side note. We're still, yeah, I've caught every episode. Just a side note, we're still in the dark here on hold, so hopefully you guys will figure that out. But fortunately, I can listen to the show later and find out what I missed. I heard yesterday a friend of mine shared something with me, a link, about a law supposedly on the books from 1974 during the Nixon impeachment. That I guess on subsequent impeachment situations, they never bothered challenging it or removing it, that says that POTUS acquitted in an impeachment trial, that his term could be extended for up to 3 years. You know anything about that?
No, I had this. This is what Mike Huckabee was talking about the other day. I tell you, Jonathan, thank you very much for the call, and thanks for being a long-term listener. We're going to check in. We're just checking that. I would think people would be all over. But I think this was Huckabee. When Huckabee said he could run in 2024, and they literally their heads blew up, I think this is what he's talking about. There's got to be some. I don't know if it's true. Well, it probably may be some internet rumor. As we used to say at Breitbart, it's too good to check. Well, we're going to get the war room. We're going to get.
I'm emailing our constitutional scholar allies as we speak.
Yeah, yeah. David Rifkin, Jonathan, thank you so much. And we're going to get back to you. Jonathan, by the way, our number is email us at fight@warroom.org. We want to hear from everybody. Get on that email chain and particularly give us pitches, ideas. We love citizen journalism. 888-480-5646. Before we go to break, Dan, who else we got?
Let's go to line four and Ray from Michigan.
Ray from Michigan, you're on line four. How can we help you, sir?
Good morning, Commander. Permission to take the con.
Ah, ha, ha. Ray, how you doing? You have permission.
I'm right here, brother.
I've got I'm the son of the morning star. The light that this no, is a long term listener for many years.
The torch that lights the morning sky.
The torch that lights the... Ray, and by the way, I met you at an event up in Macomb County, I think, a couple of years ago, and I gave a speech on the first anniversary of the historic win when President Trump won in Macomb County. How can we help you today on War Room impeachment? Vox Populi.
Hey, everybody, I don't know if anybody missed it or not, but McConnell is coordinating his effort with Trump's legal team. They're going to make a full trial out of this thing in the Senate. This is going to be the turn. They won't even bother having the election. So many people are going to vote for Trump, and the media can't help.
Hold on. Slow down. Why do you say? Because you're one of these guys, and it's about half and half right now. You're of the belief that the more facts come out in a trial, that then the other 30% of the American people that don't support Trump today will support him as the details come out of what's been going on with the national security apparatus, the FBI, the CIA, all of it, right? That's your point, is that the more details you get, the more granular you get, people get turned up and say, hey, guess what? I may not like Trump up until now, but he's right.
Yes.
That's
my point. Anytime Hillary Clinton's name is mentioned, we should always bracket that with Jeffrey Epstein. Let's hang that around her neck. She'll never recover from
because of Bill Clinton's association with Epstein.
Oh yeah, she went down there too. She went down there too on several visits.
Ray, what about if you had if you had a 5% chance? You know, we've had callers this morning. If you had a 5% chance that something could get pulled, that some witness or some fact could come out that might send it the other way, as low probability as it is, but people are concerned about making up stuff or whatever. If you had that probability, would you still want to risk and take the full exoneration, the full trial that would expose to the American people everything that's going on and with the permanent political class? Would you take that risk?
Yes, absolutely, because McConnell will control the whole thing. Look at Comey. They're already running for cover. They're already backing off their story because they know they're going to be sitting up there with their hand in the air.
Ray in Michigan, thank you very much. I appreciate the long-term listening and the torch in the morning sky. I know that make my dad used to call me every day after the old show to say, Ray and call. Okay, we got a couple of minutes. We're gonna take the other calls when we get back. I just want to say this. Is Ray correct? Is Ray's interpretation of the Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell, Pat Scipione, do you think that interpretation is correct, that they're working together so they're thinking of a full trial, or do you think they're working together to do the inside fix?
I think they're working together-ish, but I think everyone has their own different motives.
But it's not for the quick and dirty acquittal.
Yes, and I think there's...
See, Ray comes the other thing. He thinks that means they're going to do the full-blown trial. You don't buy that.
No. Not at all. Because they've been so definitive in their statements that they want to get this done. Moving USMCA to the backside is a way to box this in. You look at every evidentiary piece of information that's out there, and it says that the senators want this done and over quick. Or Senate leadership, I should say.
We're going to take a quick break, but real quickly. If there's a 5% chance that something would come up in the trial that would make it worse, but a 95% chance you expose it more and bring 25% of the American people to a side. What would you take, Lou?
I would take the trial.
You're still for the trial.
Every single time, yeah.
And you think the deplorables are for the trial, by and large?
Oh, by and large. But every trial attorney in America has that 5% chance in every trial, or more. And they have the hearts of the lions. That's why they go into the trial business.
Okay, we're going to take episode 74. We're going to return after a short commercial break. 888-480-5646. If you're holding, please hold through the break. We're going to get to you momentarily. Go to warroom.org, our 24-hour-a-day news site. Make sure you download the podcast. Everything is free on War Room Impeachment, episode 74. Back in a moment.
Bannon, Miller, Kassam. War Room Impeachment on the John Fredericks Radio Network.
Welcome back to War Room Impeachment, 16 December, Year of Our Lord 2019. Add Lou Murray to that list. He's now in studio from the Faith Initiative of the Trump Advisory Committee. He'll be over at the White House this afternoon. We're episode 74, War Room Impeachment, John Fredericks Radio Network, Salem Broadcast Radio Network, America's Voice.News, Newsmax TV. This is a special edition, Vox Populi, 888-480-5646. Let's go to Colorado and Kelly. Kelly in Colorado, how can we help you today?
Hello.
Hi, Kelly. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
So the world's listening. So tell me, how can we help you today?
Okay.
Don't want to put any pressure on you.
No, this is my first time ever to call into a radio station. I am a lifelong Democrat, and I am so horrified by how the Dems have been handling everything, right from the Bernie Sanders primary back in 2016 through the last 2 years of just this nonstop lying, smearing of the president. The only thing they cheer for him about is when he bombs Syria, and then suddenly the Dems and the establishment are supportive of him, but yet he's a danger to our country. It just doesn't make any sense.
Do you believe you're a lifelong Democrat? I come from a Democrat family too. Kennedy Democrats, or really Roosevelt Democrats, as my dad would say.
When my dad was a Roosevelt.
So I come from a blue collar Democrat family. But when you hear Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff and these people that are Democrats represent you sitting there say that we have to move this quickly, we have to go before Congress, we have to, because Donald J. Trump is a clear and present danger to the nation. Do you buy that?
Right, but they'll up his war budget, they'll renew the Patriot Act, they'll give him all these powers, but yet he's a threat that we have to throw out. None of it makes sense. I mean, it's just illogical, and all of their arguments are hearsay, and how can that be put forward? I mean, I will end up supporting Trump because I don't think Tulsi will make it anywhere. But how, even if by some miracle Tulsi was able to make it forward, the establishment would crush her. They would never allow her to scale back the wars. Because look at how strong Trump is, and they don't let him backtrack. They really push hard against him when he's trying to pull troops out. And I just feel like that should be a national conversation instead of this made-up.
Kelly, here's what I don't get, and maybe you can help the nation understand this. Why is it that when you cut on Morning Joe in the morning, you've got, you know, Mika and Joe, and Joe's no longer Republican, Mika's obviously a lifelong Democrat, and you've got all of the geniuses up there, David Ignatius, Richard Haas, Admiral Stavridis, all these guys they bring in all the time, and it's the perpetual war machine. And yet you've got Trump, who's a right-wing militarist, who's trying to say, hey, I think we ought to be in fewer countries. I think we ought to be bombing fewer people. And yet it's the Democratic establishment that continues to force this. How does that sit with you? Or how explain to the country how that works as you're a Democratic Party member. Who are those people speaking for?
Well, that's the thing. You know, I don't understand how these polls come out with 50% of the country sort of supporting that. I feel like people are just getting brainwashed because the left, you know, you've got Alan Dershowitz out there, who I was never a big fan of, but at least he's never changed his position. And he's always stood up for free speech. And now you have the ACLU going against Trump. Like, they used to support freedom of speech. They used to support due process. These things are getting thrown out the window. All of the things that the Democrats used to stand for, they used to stand for going against wars. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me, and I feel like the party's left me. I mean, this establishment, because I haven't changed. But what I do feel like is if we don't get a handle on some of this war spending and start reinvesting in our own country, and if we don't get a handle on immigration, then all my ideas of health care and all that stuff will never happen.
The Washington Post has an expose of the Afghanistan papers, like the Pentagon papers, $2 trillion in 18 years. A Republican and Democratic administration, $2 trillion,
right.
2,400 young men and women dead, tens of thousands wounded, families destroyed because of multiple deployments, Afghanistan essentially destroyed because of this. And it's essentially, it's every day it's published, but you never hear about this in the Democratic primary. You never hear about it from
It's not getting covered, except for Tulsi when she tries to speak up for the 30 seconds before they cut her off.
Do you believe when Hillary Clinton said that Tulsi's a Russian asset? How does that sit with you?
Oh my goodness, it's horrible. I mean, and she's allowed to get away with it. I mean, I have my lefty journalists that I've been huge fans of: Glenn Greenwald, Matt Taibbi, Michael Tracy, Aaron Maté. They're allowed to go on Tucker Carlson, who I'm now a huge fan of, because he'll let them speak. But they are not allowed to go on MSNBC because they've been calling out the facts. They nailed this Russia stuff from the beginning because they followed the facts. And when you have Glenn Greenwald and Fox News on the same place, you know you've got two far reaches of our society who are looking at all this saying, this is crazy, none of this makes sense.
By the way, we want you to please email us, and we want to have our producer pick up when you drop off to pick up and get your contact information. We want to include you more in this show, and particularly more on the website, Kelly in Colorado. But one last thing for you before we let you go. Tulsi Gabbard, if you could talk to her this morning and talk to her about this impeachment vote on Wednesday, as a obviously Tulsi Gabbard fan, I don't know if you're supporting for president, but what would you recommend that she do on Wednesday?
Well, here's the thing. I believe that she should vote against impeachment because I think that there needs to be some sense of reason out there. And right now, she's the only Dem out there that sounds logical, that comes from a reasonable place. The rest of them just spew nonsense.
Then why in the Democratic thing, why does she get booed and heckled? Why when Kamala Harris takes her on, Kamala Harris gets the cheers, and Tulsi Gabbard's considered an outlier?
Because Tulsi Gabbard, like Trump, is a disruptor, right? So they have to silence her. And that's where I feel like if they're allowed to do this to Trump, what the heck would they do to somebody like Tulsi Gabbard if she was ever to get elected? There's no chance that they would allow her to do anything that she wants to do. Look at how hard Trump is fighting, and yet what he has to endure every day.
How many of your neighbors, friends, associates, are either independents or Democrats, how many do you think secretly are starting to see the light and may become potential? And they may not like him personally, they may not like his style, but they're coming to the fact that President Trump may be right.
So I'm not really seeing that, and I guess that's why I'm calling in, because I am horrified, because they only watch CNN and MSNBC, but they haven't, which I don't really understand, because I stopped watching those stations for the last couple of years, because everything that they said was talking points.
When Jason Miller dropped off.
I mean, they don't have a logical argument.
Kelly in Colorado, our email is fight@warroom.org, but we want the producer, if they can, if you can hold on for a second. Well, thank you very much. Please hold on. If the producer can please get your contact information, we would love to. What Kelly just showed us is the future of American politics. The Tucker Carlson, the Matt Taibbi's, the Glenn Greenwald, so when they're on these shows talking, you're seeing something's happening in this country with the politics of it, not just the populism, not just the nationalism. Right, you saw her. She wanted to get in to talk about immigration. That's what we'd love to have her show another time. See that? It's the woman at it's Ward 18, lifetime school teacher, member of
union
the NEA,
member.
Union member of the NEA teachers union, sitting there going, "Hey, Trump's right." You're seeing something's happening.
There's
here.
A shift.
There's a shift. The mainstream media missed it in 16. You and I saw it early on. You see something's happening. You see it in the Brexit vote. You see it in those labor voters. And if you look at the focus groups, they said, yeah, we don't like Corbyn, but it's not about his personality. It's about how he's going to pay for this. And we as working class people are going to get stuck with the bill.
Yeah, absolutely. Kelly, you went from first time caller to Hall of Fame. That was awesome. Or they say in Boston, wicked good. But I would just say, like, Kelly tapped into something there. She started to get into illegal immigration. And I would add Michelle Malkin to that list of America Firsters that you just mentioned, Steve. But, you know, she talked about the ACLU. And you have these state ACLU divisions. And they're going to war, not for civil rights, but to protect illegal immigrants. And I think a lot of old-time Democrats are saying, wait a minute, you know, these speakers are being banned from the public square, and you're worrying about trying to get more people into my already overcrowded school in Ward 18. And my son is addicted to fentanyl with the same transnational gangs that are infiltrating the classrooms.
What do you think about Kelly?
No, I mean, look, if Kelly had called up and said she lived in Pennsylvania or Wisconsin or Michigan, it wouldn't have surprised me one bit, because these are the types of former Democrats who are looking around at the party and saying, you know what? It's a rejection of the party politics that we're seeing. And President Trump, these are the types of Democrats President Trump was able to, whose votes that he was able to earn, because it's people who said, you know what? I want someone who smashes the mold, who's not trapped in these typical party construct, and that's why it's so great to hear a call.
You know, I did this for years, took calls at the KBC in LA when I had the show there, and then the Sirius XM when I had the show there. These callers and people said, oh, well, you know, at Sirius XM, it's a paid service, so it's curated, so you can't count that. These callers are unbelievable. If you had a choice between being governed by the 100 guys in the United States Senate or the first 100 callers to Vox Populi, you take the first 100 callers every time. It's unbelievable.
Well, I mean, we had to get rid of Michael Bennett from Colorado and just put in Kelly from Colorado.
You're on fire. I'm telling you, you were Hall of Fame today. That was genius. That was everything great. Dead spot on, thought through. I mean,
prepared.
This is my point. The American people got common sense. They have grit. They have determination. That's why this country eventually always comes and makes the right decision. You can see something happening now. It's the Kellys of Colorado, along with the other callers, are making it happen. Is Sandy in L.A. still with us? Let's go to Sandy in Los Angeles. Sandy in Los Angeles, you were on Vox Populi on War Room Impeachment. How can we help you, ma'am?
Hey, Steve. I just want to make a comment to your point that you bring up a lot about the Democratic Party rising to the level of tactics that the Dems use, especially Nancy Pelosi and her little group. And that bothers me because I'm going to quote Joe Biden, she's a damn liar. She lies intentionally. She smears.
You sound like my sister. And a couple of female types I know that I'm very close to. Nancy Pelosi, every time I say she's a brilliant strategic thinker, their heads blow up. You don't believe that. You just think she's a stone-cold liar.
Well, I think she's smart. But she crosses lines that I don't want good people to cross.
Be specific. Give us the lines that you think Sandy in L.A. that Nancy Pelosi's crossed that you're not comfortable with.
Just the one that comes to mind because I'm kind of nervous right now.
Okay, don't be nervous. You're among friends globally.
Well, okay.
No pressure.
The thing that really steamed me, which I hate it when people do this, is like use religion and to make themselves look virtuous. And okay, like my mind is draining right now.
No, but you're saying when James Rosen last week asked her the question, do you hate the president? And she fired back and says, I don't hate anybody because I'm raised as a Roman Catholic. I'm an observant Roman Catholic. I got Lou here who's trying to save Jason Miller and myself who are fallen. That you're saying that crossed the line when she used her religion to browbeat James Rosen.
Absolutely, and she does hate the president.
Why do you say she hates it? Why, hang over a second. Why do you say you didn't think James Rosen was out of line by saying she hates the president? Why do you point to something?
No.
Point to something that shows me where Nancy Pelosi hates the president of the United States.
The constant efforts that she makes to try to smear his good name.
Okay.
That's hatred. I mean, what other?
In her mind, you don't believe she's doing her constitutional duties. Like the other day, she says she's not going to whip this vote. That people
have to. Oh, there's a good example.
That people are going to be. I knew if I trigger. You don't believe that. You think she's lying there?
I think she's totally lying. I think she's making it up. I mean, I don't see the Republicans. I'm not saying that there's not shaky, shady Republicans, but as a whole, I don't see them making those kind of statements that we know are blatant misuses of our Constitution just to get whatever they want to manipulate like that.
Okay, Sandy in L.A. Sandy, you've done an amazing job, by the way, for a first-time caller. I throw fastballs, but you've hit every one. But let me ask you one last question before leaving. I got to talk to Lou and Jason about your comments. Do you believe it's appropriate for the President of the United States to tweet last night about Nancy Pelosi, her teeth coming out? When you say that Nancy Pelosi is smearing the president, when you say Nancy Pelosi hates the president, when you say Nancy Pelosi does this and does that and does the other thing, do you think, as a defender of Donald J. Trump, that it's appropriate for the President of the United States to go back and to hit her with a tweet to talk about her, obviously her dentures or whatever it is about her teeth? Do you think that's appropriate?
Yes.
Okay, just explain that. You got a global audience.
I almost cried. Well, I'll tell you why. Because he's not lying. He's not using the good Constitution or Jesus and using their name or their intention as a manipulation. He's just flat out calling her out, right?
Sandy, thank you so much. We got to jump at a fantastic, fantastic call. Thank you so much. Let's go to Sandy's call. I know, and I think I trigger my own posse when I call her the master strategist. There's nothing I get lit up like that among my own peeps.
You get lit up in this own room.
No, I get lit up all the time. Nancy Pelosi, isn't it the fact that, and I think even more than Hillary, more than Crooked, with Nancy Pelosi, Trump has a real rival. I've never really thought that Hillary was the closest, but you know, there's nobody else on the political scene I think can stand with Donald Trump, to match up with Donald Trump. Nancy Pelosi's been the first, and I think she crafted this, and I do agree with Sandy on some of the elements of it. But how do you weigh and measure that? How do you weigh and measure about how she's acted constitutionally? And did you have a problem when Rosen said, why do you hate the president, or do you hate the president? And she came back and fired back on him using her Catholic faith. And what do you think of the president's tweet last night about her, whatever problem she had with her teeth?
So, I mean, look, last night's tweet, I laughed hysterically when I saw it. And I mean, I'd been wondering that question ever since the CNN town hall. But going to the hate point, I think there's, look, sometimes.
But you're saying for him, it was good-natured teasing. It can be justified.
I mean, they have put his entire life through the ringer. They attack him and anyone all close to him every single day. They try to destroy them down to the smallest little grain of dust. When you go back to the State of the Union speech, and President Trump was speaking, and Speaker Pelosi was behind him doing that alligator clap when she's doing that.
That's why you did it to right there. Is it just to mock him? When he was talking.
Just a mock. I mean, that is a level of, I mean.
And she had that look.
Pure disdain.
Yeah. I mean, and you are, I mean, that's all James, if I were James Rosen.
And you're Speaker of the House, he's President of the United States. Whether you hate this guy personally, you have these are instituted, that'll be looked at 100 years from now.
They will look 100 years from now. And I mean, has there ever been a Speaker of the House that has done something like that behind a sitting president? Now, I'm not to say that there haven't been, other chuckleheads in the room during previous presidencies who maybe haven't done something that was a bit corny. But for the Speaker of the House of Representatives to do the alligator clap and just just sneering at the president of the United States. Look, I mean, the hatred is real. That's what's driving these Democrats right now.
You're a devout Catholic. Do you have a problem with her using her Catholic faith at that time? Not using it, but bringing it up to say that she's raised a Catholic, she doesn't hate anybody, and that she prayed. Do you believe she's lying when she says she prays for the president?
I wouldn't know if she's lying, but I would say that what she does when she claims the mantle of her Catholic faith is she highlights the fact that Donald Trump is probably more Catholic in his virtues than she is. He's devoted to the common good. Wow. He's devoted to the common good of the nation and its borders. He's devoted to the rule of law. All these things are the very essence of Augustine and other great Catholic saints.
But how can you say the Catholic bishops' conference is 1,000 times worse than Nancy Pelosi? I mean, they're the sanctuary. That's the sanctuary city crowd.
That's the sanctuary city chorus.
We're down on the border right now trying to build a wall. We got a Catholic priest on a boat that every day is taking photographs and saying we're Nazis and all this.
You know,
a sanctuary city.
Steve, you know, we're the Catholic Church. We're a big tent. But I would just say that, you know, the people in the pews are with the president.
We don't want the Archbishop of Boston shutting down the Boston Catholic Radio thing. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. Can we take another call before we got to go, Dan?
Sure. Let's go to Tom in Ohio on line 4.
Tom in Ohio, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of time. You're on War Room Impeachment, Vox Populi. How can we help you, sir?
I love your podcast. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a Catholic, too. I've been going crazy with the news coming from this papacy, so maybe after War Room Impeachment, you could do War Room Catholic Church.
War Room Vatican, I'm thinking of. Don't worry, brother. It's a big deal for me.
Yeah, absolutely. My view is POTUS knows, you know, it's a historic presidency, and, you know, impeachment is a historic event in the life of the Republic. So how can you not have a full trial knowing that the Democrat Party has railroaded this impeachment through the House? And I think you need to take the fight to the left. There's been so much corruption exposed over the last 3 years, all against the president, and therefore the people who voted for him and the American people in general. So they haven't really even followed the Constitution. When you look at treason, bribery.
Yep. High crimes and misdemeanors. Tom, we got to bounce, but yeah, I got to tell you, fantastic call. Thank you very much. It's a great way to end. I think Tom lays it out. It's a historic presidency. And Jason, to your point, this is a historic moment. Wednesday's a historic day. It's only happened twice before in the history of the Republic. This will be the third time. And in that regard, Tom is saying you must think historically. You've got to think 100 years downrange. You got to think how this moment in time, the people around here, the supporters of Trump, and most importantly, the Trump presidency will be remembered. What say you, sir?
I think what they're going to look at the Trump presidency and say, number one, this is where he changed the trade relationship and started putting America back in America first capacity. I think you'll look at the courts. I think that'll be a big one. And ultimately, I think they're going to look at Democrats and say, man, these guys really blew it during the Trump presidency.
Lou, thank you so much for being
here.
And have a good day over at the White House.
Thanks for having me in.
On the advisory from Boston. Okay, War Room Impeachment. War Room Impeachment, Vox Populi. Just 6 o'clock tonight, we'll be back with another special edition of War Room Impeachment.